Hello and welcome to, is this our fourth episode?
This is the fourth
episode of the Queer Zone podcast, and we are joined by a very special guest, the Doctor of Drab Fab herself.
Hello.
It's
great
here.
To see you all again.
Good to see you all.
I feel like it's been a long time.
It has.
It's really nice to be here.
Yes. We've all aged.
We all aged 2 weeks, which in the life of a party gay is about 4 years, I think.
It's been a long time.
I think we're just going to start with this, aren't we?
Yeah.
Song that we've all been listening to. Just amazing. On a marble stair, trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere. Hard times in the city, in a hard town by the sea. Hey.
Wow. Yeah, really great graphic design on that one, actually. Mm,
it looks like an astrological sign or something.
Yeah, it's very sensual.
I really like that story about her, that her rider was just cocaine and loads of sausages.
Yeah, that's true. This is one of the things that our friend was talking about. Yeah, that's like absolutely fact. Wow. Like, she just loves sausage.
I think one of the things I like most about that song is quite how long it takes to get into the chorus as well. You know, you're sort of just like...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good, like... Amazing. I don't even... Yeah. Well, it's just amazing.
So worth it when it comes.
Should have been the theme tune to The Wire as well.
Yeah. What's the first thing on our agenda today? What is it? Let's read. Oh, yeah.
Surprise, we have one, to be honest.
We do. We've actually written an agenda for today. About a week ago, I went to the BFI's Flare Festival, which is the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, sort of queer film festival, to see a film called Some of My Friends Are, which is from, I think it was recorded in 1970 and released in 1971, and it's sort of all set around this particular bar in Greenwich Village called the Blue Jay. And it's got sort of Candy Darling in and sort of very familiar sort of archetype characters that you'd expect to see in those kind of bars. It's amazing sort of document of the time and just sort of maybe in the early 70s, New York felt a lot like the 60s, you know? And just like all the different characters and their relationships and just some amazing one-liners and like outfits and like a really angry like woman because she wasn't getting all the attention and like muscle queens and like the Italian-American bar owner who's like a bit of a mafia boss and like the pianist and
yeah, just, I can't wait to watch it.
I mean, it takes quite a horrible, unexpected turn.
Well, no spoilers. Which,
yeah, I mean that might be a bit of a spoiler. But it's, you know, you're so involved in the characters' stories and it's all really convivial on a night out and then it kind of takes this turn because someone takes a dislike to someone else. And it was incredibly harrowing. And it's available on YouTube and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, maybe that's something that Quiz M3000 will have to download and put into the immense archive.
Yeah, because the reel that I watched at the BFI was the only existing reel.
Some pirate somewhere has
got a digital version of it.
And what was it called?
It's called Some of My Best Friends Are.
Ooh.
Which is a really nice title.
Yeah, obviously a play on Some of My Best Friends Are Gay.
Mm.
It's true.
Yeah. So yeah, I really recommend that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you sent me the link, but I've yet to follow it. But you never led me astray.
No. I'm a good barometer of.
You're flare. A high pressure.
I'm a flare.
A certain flare.
Yeah, in an ocean of mediocrity.
You said it. We that's agree.
It's what will be written in my like, epitaph in the Sutton Coldfield Observer.
Iceberg.
Like 2043.
Yeah, maybe.
Pretty ambitious.
As if they're like anyone here will remember. They try never open their curtains.
There'll be like a blue plaque on the outside of Glamorous Show Bar.
Well, that would be such a good art project.
Yeah,
just a blue plaque of yourself and put it up in areas.
Have you done
of
it? Didn't there is an artist that did that in the studio?
I was stealing my best ideas.
Mm. I know. I think we got there first.
We're definitely there first last night. There's no one else there. Yeah.
No, there wasn't anyone else there. Maybe we should go into talking about Glamorous Show Bar.
Yeah.
Save that until we've spoken about.
No, I mean, like, maybe we should just go into.
Maybe we should all go to the Glamorous Show Bar.
New bar.
Okay, so this week's new bar is
recently refurbed, as it's now called Glamorous Cabaret Bar. There's some legal battle in there somewhere, probably.
Yeah. We sued them.
But basically, it's Glamorous Show Bar, and it's in Chinatown in Birmingham.
Yeah, so just give a bit of context. What was it? What was it previously known as over the years?
Glamorous Show Bar.
There was one that I can never remember.
Excels.
Yeah, it was Excels.
There was another one as well.
It's basically a gay basement.
Constant rebranding.
Mm.
Never seen a show there, apart from those that happen off the stage. I mean, it is a stage, isn't it? Let's be honest.
The whole place is a stage. So
they've recently refurbished, and they've got sort of. They used to have eight small disco balls on the ceiling.
They've consolidated them
into one Death Star disco ball.
Huge! It's huge. I guess we should describe more about. I guess it's a bit of a. It's a late bar. You know, it doesn't read. There's not really anyone there until two or three.
Yeah, as we discovered
last night.
It's very shifty, isn't it?
Yeah, it tends to collect the dregs of the night.
Yeah.
Everyone who's got nowhere to go.
Mm.
All the other bars are shut. Maybe they've been kicked out the club.
Mm.
They've already been to the takeaway. This is where they end up.
Yeah,
they're waiting for the Uber surge to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they all surge into down the rickety steps.
So you enter down, you know, a flight of precarious steps, not to be attempted in high heels, though many have.
And last night we were very privileged to be in the company of a drag queen called Rockella, who was playing like what I can only describe as a pre-mixed amble.
But not altogether unagreeable, though.
No, it was good. It was Madonna.
It was mostly Madonna.
I think it was mostly Madonna.
Entrance.
I felt like most of the songs that they played were like snatched away a bit too soon.
Mm. There was also like a strange interlude of the 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, kind of movie. Jingle. I'm not really sure why that happened, but
I was having a cig. I thought there was a show happening when I heard that outside.
Yeah, have you actually seen a show there?
No, never. No.
Yeah.
I kind of quite like the idea that there aren't any shows there.
They do set up the stage, but yeah, I've never seen.
The stage is just full of chairs facing away from the where the audience would be.
Where the audience would be if there was anyone else in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the alcohol prices are medium, I would say, for Birmingham. It's not particularly expensive, not particularly cheap.
Yeah.
No.
It's just average, I would say. We're talking about £4 a pint.
It's not my favourite.
No.
I got spiked.
Tom got spiked in there, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, God, we can't forget about that. That's awful.
That was Glamorous Show Bar, not Glamorous Cabaret Bar.
The rebrand, we've all conveniently forgot that dark history.
Yeah. So maybe that's the point of a constant... I mean, Birmingham does that really well in like lots of aspects, but just bulldozes and... rebrands and reopens.
Yeah, but I think all we can advise is keep a close eye on your drink, as with anywhere.
Mm.
It's got an interesting decor. I think could one of you perhaps talk about the wallpaper that they've.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, that's one of the main aspects of the refurb. So they've got wallpaper with the names of four London streets on it, covering the walls, and it's sort of, I mean, it's art.
Yeah.
Postmodern art.
Or wrapping paper. Not quite sure. So, you know, for example, Portobello Road, King's Road,
Brick Lane.
You know, just famous London streets with a kind of street sign type design. Quite strange, but it really fits into this whole... thing that I've been noticing of the kind of Shoreditchification of Birmingham. You know, I really think within a year, perhaps this city will be the new Hoxton.
Yeah, and I think Glamour Show Bar is looking at either being an eat or a prep.
Yeah.
It will
backfire. Their plan to like bring on this kind of London aesthetic will backfire, and they will actually be turned into a downstairs prep.
Yeah.
It's only, you know, and frankly, I can't wait to leave before that happens.
I can't wait.
But yeah, you know, it's a good bar. It's not bad. Like, at that time, it's often the best option, you know, at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
5 a.m.
The only option.
Yeah.
Well, that is the best option. It's Jester.
Which we really
that's, but maybe that's another new bar, but then I don't think we can, we should go there again. I think, in fact, they run a disgusting racket of exclusive space and we shouldn't go there, but you know, that maybe that's a story for another time.
Mm. Yeah. And on, I think on that note, we've all been through the meal of different Birmingham institutions. And it's all affected both our relationships and our men's feelings. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood, Venice, Koreatown, Westgate, Palisade. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood, Venice, Koreatown, Westgate, Palisade. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood, Venice, Koreatown, Westgate, Palisade. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood, Venice, Koreatown, Westgate, Palisade. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood, Venice, Koreatown, West Palisade. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood, Venice, Koreatown, West Palisade. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood, Venice, Koreatown, West Palisade. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood, Venice, Koreatown, West Palisade. Echo Park, Silver Lake, Eagle Rock, West Hollywood. Men's feelings, tell me more about men's feelings. I wanna know feelings, tell me more about men's feelings. Men's feelings, tell me more about men's feelings. I wanna know feelings, tell me more about men's feelings. Men's feelings, tell me more about men's feelings. I wanna know feelings, tell me more about men's feelings. And I couldn't have taken you with me. And your presence won't let me go.
Do you were acting so shifty, shifty, shifty.
Unfortunately, have to fade that one out. It's a 10 minute banger. Loving that. That was Men's Feelings by Poisonous Relationship. We've all had a few of those.
Say no.
But that's
more.
A story for another time.
That's next week's feature.
Hey, that's quite good. Poisonous relationship. What's your poisonous relationship of the week?
We go try and have a new one every week.
We just invite people in to talk about it.
But it doesn't have to be like a romantic relationship.
No.
It could be like the relationship to your like hair or like
your relationship.
Or that discount sushi that I brought from Tesco.
yeah. There's many forms of relationship in the new queer idiom.
So we've just, while watching that video, our eyes have meandered to the other recommended videos, and one is the 10 emotional WWE moments that made the fans cry. I mean, we've all cried at WWE.
Every time.
maybe Tom could talk a little bit about what's made you cry in WWE. Or what's made you cheer, in fact.
We had to put this in a bit of context. And you two are massive wrestling fans and have been since you were born. Tell, because I'm familiar, but I'm not an expert like you.
So WWF is kind of big old stage show, lights, cameras, kind of entrances, exits. There's a bit of competition in the middle that kind of allows a really vast audience to engage with what is essentially
wrestling. Kind of two men or women or more wrestling.
Sometimes 30 at once.
What's the maximum amount?
About 30.
Is that King of the Ring?
It's Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble, that's right.
So there's many different incarnations of wrestling, of course, but what drew you to wrestling or what continues to draw you both to wrestling?
For me, I think it's the kind of
homoeroticism.
I mean, that's there.
No, it isn't that at all,
but it's just
actually.
Like, it's not kind of sleazy. It's kind of that sleazy, kind of glittery, like, gold mine of, like, bizarre characters and, like, direct audience engagement. Like, I love the adrenaline of, like, the crowd soaring and screaming and, like, directly responding to these characters. Then the outfits are really, really fab. The big, like, huge Tron screen, like, entrances, exits.
Music.
And a strange way that it's kind of, like, with any kind of, I mean, it's basically like a drag or whatever, with any kind of commitment to a character, then there's these lines between, like, fiction, fantasy. And I think, like, that kind of just, it's just really escapist, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, really fantastic.
That's a good way of talking about it, I think. I think it's like a depository for something, isn't it? We were saying last night how we felt like it was like an alibi or like a mode of expression for people. I really enjoy just in the whole, like, show of it. It's such a soap opera, isn't it? And the costumes and... but both of our favourite wrestlers is Gold Dust, who is just a complete sexual deviant.
So what's the story behind Gold Dust? We were watching
something. He's from, like, Hollywood. He's kind of like, he's like a kind of failed actor or something. Or he's supposed to be like an actor or like a Hollywood kind of... He's like, he's gold.
Yeah.
And, like, he's got like a kind of agent wife who smokes cigars called Marlene. And he wears kind of these fab, like, blonde... He's a bit of a, like, Liberace kind of,
Yeah.
Hollywood personality.
It's like just a tremendous subversion of like gender roles or something. You know, like Marlene is like with a big cigar and but it's just so silly, isn't it? Like completely silly.
And he like his kind of gimmick, I guess, is that he uses his like the commentators describe it as his like unusual like behavior to like distract his opponents, so he can like, so he'll be kind of, he'll like flirt with them or like kind of gyrate or like do a kind of weird,
freak them out a bit.
Yeah, freak them out and then kind of win.
Kind of like psychological.
Yeah, I think he's a very psychological character, and I think when he first arrived, he was doing this sort of like talks to camera, wasn't he, before he came out, just sort of like hyping up his abilities and like threatening his opponent in this really sort of louche way. He's great. But there are other sort of archetypes, aren't there? So there's like Stone Cold Steve Austin is the sort of like redneck,
super blue collar kind of
macho.
The Texas rebel.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a rebel.
And he's just got such an explosive presence, hasn't he? Yeah. He just sort of bursts in and everyone goes crazy and
he's like proper rock star vibe.
And it is a lot of, I guess there's a big comparison between being a wrestler and being a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of fights with the people who run the...
Yeah, he's pretty like anti-establishment.
Yeah.
Or at least just like, really like...
Because, I mean, that bit last night that I was enjoying was when he drove the Budweiser truck. He kind of, you know, he beat up his opponent a bit. And the opponent was kind of like lying on the floor, and so he went out, drove in this Budweiser truck, and like sprayed a hose pipe of beer into the audience, and then also sprayed his opponent, kind of beat him up a bit more.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, that's a classic episode.
Like a boozy riot police or something.
Yeah.
But I just I really like the sort of really dark characters as well, like Mankind and The Undertaker and all the sort of peripheral characters like Paul Bearer. It's just like so dark and twisted, but it's...
And Kane is like Undertaker's brother who's like burnt in a house fire when he was like really young, so he wears this weird like flame mask.
Although I think in more recent years he's had that taken off, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But they're just like they're like terrifying.
Yeah, and I mean the you know, there's a blurring of reality and fiction here, but I imagine like a lot of the people who are actually like the wrestlers are like pretty dark in like so-called real life as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think certainly someone like Mankind, Mick Foley, is like seems to be kind of addicted to it. You know, can you imagine the adrenaline of going out and having like a big fight with someone and like having the adoration of the crowd? And I don't know, it's like, it must be a massive release or something.
I think that's like what I could always feel that in their performances, even as a young kid, like not really knowing what was going on, but just being really wide eyed and like really drawn to it. When I think back on it now, it's that kind of like, it is just like such a good show. Like, you want to be attached to that energy in some way, as well as it just like looking great and being pretty funny or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Totally, and like sheer entertainment seems like a really base form of that.
Yeah,
and I think it's live as well. Like, it's,
like, it's the spectacle.
Yeah.
Well, should we? That's a pretty good. So yeah, check it out. Wrestling. not better. As good as you remember it.
I have to confess, I'm proud as hell of that fact. stand the best. I accord them all due respect. But the brightest jewel inside of me glows with pleasure at my own stupidity. This is a song from under the floorboards. This is a song from where the wall is cracked. My false habit, I am an insect. I have to confess I'm proud as hell of that fact. Phantoms I could later chase. Images of all that could be desired. Then I got tired of counting all of these blessings. Then I just got tired. This is a song from under the floorboards. This is a song from where the wall is cracked. My force and habit, I am insult. I have to confess I'm proud as hell of that fact. This is a song from under the floorboards. This is a song from where the wall is cracked. My force and habit, I am insult. I have to confess I'm proud. Hello, like that.
That's our studio audience.
A song from Under the Floorboards by Magazine, containing my favourite, possibly one of my favourite lyrics ever, opening line, I am angry, I am ill, and I'm as ugly as sin.
Yeah, so relatable. So relatable. So, which brings us on to an unrelatable experience. So we have...
Before we went to Glamorous Show Bar yesterday, we all went to an event that happens in Birmingham on the first Friday of every month, which is in Digbeth, the east side of Birmingham. They open up all of the galleries late and people have special events on, and everybody has a nice time and drinks lots of beer and see people that you might not have seen for a month.
It's called Digbeth First Fridays yeah. And first Friday of the month.
Yeah, and there's amazing spaces, amazing ambition, and it's pretty cool. And we had tickets yesterday to go and see an event that was happening at Eastside Projects, which is an artist-led space in the east side of Birmingham, and we saw three performances and two films, but we didn't belong there or something, or...
Yeah, well, I think we should say first as well that anything we do say from now on is not a total criticism of Eastside. They do put on some good stuff, and I'm sure there's some good people in the organisation as well, but...
Good things for Birmingham. It's just that there was a list of rules that were read out when you arrive, and you don't want to enter into a space where you, for instance, can't go to the toilet and can't leave. Like, that seems quite extreme, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I find their approach to organising events very... very problematic, as the term goes, used in certain circles. I think they're way... I don't know, it's a complicated issue, but basically I think they're way too authoritarian. I don't really feel comfortable entering into their space. The particular incident that's really stuck with me was from last month's first Friday. So the weather, you know, the weather was very cold. It was snow. It was actually snowing outside.
It looked like Victorian England.
Yeah, it was very Victorian, you know. The gas lights were lit.
Yeah.
The paupers were...
cold.
Cold. That was us. And during one of the performances, you know, some latecomers arrived to the event and they were not allowed to enter the space and were forced to watch the unfolding performance through the glass door of the gallery. Bear in mind, they are, you know, stuck in sub-zero, when it was thereabouts temperature. Yeah. And this is, I thought this was just a total joke. The idea of leaving people out, literally leaving people out in the cold. Like,
yeah.
I don't know whether this is like just this particular format of events they're doing, which involves a live stream, which they seem to be very, very obsessed about maintaining this live stream over the enjoyment of people in the actual space, which I think is a whole other issue that comes up quite a lot in some of these live streaming art events. But yeah, just leaving someone out in the cold, I think that's totally ridiculous.
But I think maybe what the issue at hand has more to do with something that's, or it's like emblematic of a wider problem that we encounter when we go to these spaces, and it's
an East Side problem, maybe.
It's an East Side problem. Yeah. But it's not, I'm not exclusively talking about that. I guess I'm talking about a kind of elitism or a distance, and just self-importance that I just really find so unattractive about I'm going to say like swathes of the visual art world. And I don't know, it's this kind of belief that there's a public service being conducted and that the audience should be grateful, really, really grateful to be there. And it's not compassionate. It's not based around community. It doesn't feel very engaging. It feels very elitist and exclusive. And it's a shame because some of the performances were amazing.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
And that we've left with this being our sort of resonant feeling is quite pertinent, I guess. Let's move on from that.
Yeah.
And talk about your adventures in the...
Inside
the dark web.
Yeah. So this week's dark web find is the Hansa Marketplace, which seems to be the new hot shit in terms of online Bitcoin-based dark web marketplaces. You know, similar to the type of thing like Silk Road, etc. It was, you know, which was one that was shut down by the FBI a while ago. So yeah, it's pretty simple format. You know, it's a kind of eBay style site. Sellers are based upon their reviews and a kind of what would you call that? A kind of reputation based system, and you can buy many things on there. Many interesting items. To a certain extent, I guess maybe it's the case with many of these marketplaces that they're 85% drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Any drug you can imagine. But some of it is like...
Ibuprofen.
Yeah, ibuprofen, you know.
Paracetamol.
Yeah. Rehypnol.
Valium.
Yeah, but anything, you know. It's mostly based around weed and sort of ecstasy, MDMA type stuff. Maybe a bit of acid on there. But, you know, it's got everything. Bit of heroin, crack, cocaine. So there's a wide range of stuff. With confirmed quality, you know, judging by some of the comments.
What's
the
name of it?
Hansa Marketplace, okay. As in the German, the sort of Western period.
Not to be confused with that three-piece boy band that did Mbop.
If you went looking for one and got the other,
yeah, you'd be delighted.
You know, Hansa's very specific architecture.
I'm quite intrigued by the like user rating thing. So yeah. I can imagine the only time that I'd I'd be too busy when I was like high on crack to leave a user rating. I feel like it'd be the next morning and I'd be like terrible.
Yeah, no, I don't know though. I mean, people do it for other stuff. I don't see why.
Do they have a guideline? Do you leave it a week and then,
yeah, I'm not sure if they have a star rating system where you can see how many satisfied customers they have. So the, you know, the better you are, and like, you know, they mark them out of 10 for certain categories. There's like quality, price, stealth, and stealth is how stealthy it gets. They get it to you. It's obviously various methods of concealing the goods.
back of a book.
Yeah, and I mean, there's sellers all over the world. I was looking at one. Obviously, I would never never purchase anything illegal or do anything contrary to the laws of our great nation. Yeah, so that's it, pretty much. You can also buy stolen credit cards. You can buy porn. Obviously, they have... It's not a totally unregulated market. They have certain rules, you know, like, welcome rules of, like, no like, child abuse stuff, which is obviously, like, a good rule to have. And, like, you know, certain you know, no weapons and stuff like that. But apart from that, you can pretty much anything. It's lots of stolen PayPal account details, skimmed credit cards, little, like, lots of fake IDs, actually, fake passports, all this kind of stuff. But most of them are, like, fake American driving licenses, so kids can go buy booze, you know. It's like, you know, it's all the sort of black market stuff that exists anywhere, anyway. It's just a convenient way of doing it. You don't even have to get out of bed.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, again, another unfortunate fade-out, just as it gets here.
Absolutely love that. From 1984, Golden Queen by A Avenue.
Yeah.
Such a good find. Yeah, quickly before we go, we just wanted to mention on the 16th of April, we're going to be DJing at Centrala in Birmingham for a really amazing series of events that's happening, which is called Beyond Borders. It's the project of Gap Arts.
It's www.thegapartsproject.co.uk. All the info is on there. It's a week-long series of arts events in response to the border crisis, from the 9th till the 16th of April this year.
And it's just run by two amazing, beautiful
people,
creatures.
Yeah. Creatures.
Yeah. So if you're around, then please come and say hey and come and dance.
Yeah, come and buy some of my art.
Yeah, come and buy Leo's art.
It's fundraising. Yes, they're doing also a kind of secret sale art show to fundraise to buy bikes and provide training and equipment for migrants and refugee community in Birmingham. So it's just the sort of direct action we advocate here on the Queer Zone 2000 podcast.
Amazing graphic design.
Yeah, also, yeah, good flyer.
Cool, thank you very much for listening. We will hopefully speak with you soon.
With you, as if there's any dialogue. We'll speak to you.
At you.
Next week.
Bye.
Bye.